Our Bible reading is from Hebrews chapter 11. And I hope to start a series this morning on Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to ask Colm to do the Bible reading. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 to 6. Thank you. And after our reading, then Rodney will make the announcements for this incoming week.
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen.
This great chapter of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 11, is well known. And God willing, we're going to go through this chapter on Sunday mornings. It's in a book that is to do with change, the change from Judaism to Christianity, from Moses to Christ, from the end of the Old Testament priesthood to Christ, who is our great high priest, and whoever lives to make intercession for his people. The great theme of this chapter is faith. And we're looking at this morning, by faith we understand. And then we'll go on, by faith Abel, and by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, and so on. But we're talking here about true saving faith. And really we have to connect the last few verses of chapter 10. Verse 38 says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and so on. A.W. Pink says that sentence in chapter 10 really forms the text of which Hebrews 11 is the sermon. My righteous one shall live by faith, or the just shall live by faith, by saving faith in God. But saving faith is a faith that's seen. Saving faith is seen faith. It's to be shown in people's lives. And we have the Old Testament examples of that, of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, all of these Old Testament characters, which we shall be looking at through Hebrews chapter 11 and their faith. But the people aren't mentioned until verse 4. The chapter does not begin with the people. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. We have a statement about faith before we come to the people. In verses 1-3. And these people are examples of faith. They're examples of faith for succeeding generations. And verse 13 says, after mentioning several individuals, and then coming back to individuals again in verse 17 with Abraham. But verses 13 to 16, there's no people mentioned, there's no individuals mentioned. But it says in verse 13, these all died in faith. And to me that is a tremendous statement. And if these people died in faith, they lived in faith. They died as they lived. What consistency? There were no changes in their lives as it came to their time to die. The NIV puts it, all these people were still living by faith when they died. It wasn't something that was attached on to the end of their lives. Faith. They had been living in faith and by faith for years. It was their life. Faith in God. Faith through some difficult circumstances. In fact, Abel amended his life by being murdered by his brother. He died a violent death. Others like Noah and like Abraham grew to be very old. And Jacob died being surrounded by his family. All died in different ways. And we'll see towards the end of the chapter that there were those who had terrible experiences in their lives. It says in verse 36 that some were tortured. And it says in verse 36 says others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. And that's maybe a reference to the martyrdom of Isaiah. They were killed with the sword. And if they didn't experience death this way, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So for many of these people, their life of faith was not a comfortable life. It cost them to have faith. It wasn't a cozy life. It was a costly life. And still today there are those, if they're going to have faith in God, it will cost them. It's costly. There are those today, and even over church history, that we can easily lift out those verses in Hebrews 11 that I've just read, verses 35 down to 38, and we could put them over any period of history. Even today in the 21st century, there are those in some countries who live like this. But these all, talking about Abel who was murdered, and Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham, Sarah, these all died in faith. What a lovely way to die. For some of them it was difficult in living. It was costly. They suffered in so many kinds of ways. But these all died in faith. What a reward then that they experienced. As verse 6 says, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so that is the background to this. This is faith rooted in the saving work of Christ. What else can it be? But this chapter shows us what it does to people, what faith does to people, and how much they can endure who have a grasp of God. And we see in these first three verses, in verse 1, faith looks forward. In verse 2, faith looks backward. And in verse 3, faith looks upward. And tying in verse 6 with that as well. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. So faith looks upward. But first of all it looks forward. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And here we are still in the first month of the new year. We still call it the new year. And the year stretches ahead of us, and indeed the future. And here is a text for the future. And for the uncertainty of it all. For that which is unknown that is ahead of us. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. Or to paraphrase that, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we hope for is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it ahead. You see, that's the difference between a worldly hope and the heavenly hope. We have hopes in this life. We hope this will take place. We hope that takes place. We hope that we will see that accomplished and so on. But those hopes may never come to pass. But heavenly hopes will. Hope that is from God will come to pass. And yet they mightn't come to pass in our lifetime. As we see in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. They hoped for things. They prayed for things to take place. They died before those things took place. But they took place after they died. Their prayers and their desires were answered. And one has said that biblical faith is not a vague hope grounded in imaginary wishful thinking. Instead, faith is a settled confidence that something in the future, something that is not yet seen but has been promised by God, will actually come to pass because God will bring it about. Biblical faith is a confident trust in the eternal God who is all-powerful, infinitely wise, eternally trustworthy. I think Abraham and Sarah are a good example of this. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. What was Abraham and Sarah promised? Verse 8 says of Abraham, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And verse 12 says, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, Abraham was 100 years of age when Isaac was born. Sarah was 90. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead. His body near done. Sarah's body near done. And yet that's the age that Isaac was born. We're born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. That's the two illustrations that God used every now and again when he came to Abraham. His descendants would be as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. But Abraham never lived to see that. Abraham saw Isaac born. He was dead even before Jacob and Esau came along. His grandchildren. But Abraham died in faith, not having received the things promised. He didn't receive them personally. But they took place in his family's life. Isaac, and then Jacob, and then from Jacob the sons that were the heads of the tribes of Israel. And so we live our lives, don't we? And we pray for this to happen, we pray for that to happen. And we trust God for his promises. We read of heaven, we read of the future, we have considered here the final state, the last two chapters of Revelation, 21 and 22, heaven and for all eternity. My, how great and how grand that is. And yet these are things promised to us, and they will come to pass. They will come to pass. And what motivates us, what carries us through this life? But faith. We believe these things. By faith we understand. Verse 3. And one has said, if they lived and died triumphantly on bare promises, how dare those who have seen their fulfillment falter in their allegiance to Christ? You see, when you come to Galatians chapter 3, it's not so much the earthly seed of Abraham that's important. It is the spiritual seed. If you are of faith, then you are of Abraham's seed. And the people of God are as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And I think a great example of that, how dare those who have seen their fulfillment falter in their allegiance to Christ, is Moses. In verse 27, it is said of Moses that by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And Moses' life, he lived 120 years. His life easily divides up into three parts, 3 40s. The first 40 years in the palace. And that's when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that's when he made the conscientious decision to turn his back on the wealth and the fame of Egypt. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And for 40 years he wandered in the wilderness. And Moses may have I wondered, what's going to happen now? Where do I go from here? But he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was called to go back down into Egypt and to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Faith. He lived by faith. He died in faith. And Moses is an example of verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so are Abraham and Sarah. And one has said that faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. The God that we cannot see, but we believe that he exists. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith looks forward. 2011, 2012, just whatever the rest of our lives hold. Are you looking forward this morning, or do you dread the future? Or you take great delight knowing that your faith is in God. My faith looks unto thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine, that you have entrusted your life and your future with him. And whatever is ahead, and none of us know, illness, tragedy, we don't know. We don't know those things that will affect even our families, let alone us, but how emotionally we could be wrecked. But faith is the substance, or is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We leave it all in God's hands. And God makes no mistakes. God's ways are perfect. And he works everything out for his own glory and his own purpose. Faith looks forward. But you know, faith looks backward. Verse 2, for by it the people of old received their commendation. The people of old. And here we think of the people of old, the New Testament believers. Christ has died upon the cross, and this is very much into the New Testament, the early years of the New Testament. The people of old that are mentioned here, most of them in the very first book of Genesis, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And not just individuals, but even circumstances by faith. Verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And there's no particular individual mentioned there, although it is under the leadership of Joshua and the children of Israel encircling Jericho, and we know the story. And it all happened by faith. They had faith in God to topple the seemingly impregnable city of Jericho. And God did it. God did it. Faith looks backward. And we're to read this chapter. And we're to read about these people. And they are to inspire us today. At the end of chapter 11, when you come into chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And these are the great cloud of witnesses, our examples. And we can look backward to the personalities of the Bible, but also in church history. How we can read a good Christian biography of a missionary, of a preacher, someone who lived 100 years ago and beyond, any time beyond that. Every generation has known men and women of faith, and we can learn from them. We can be inspired by them as we look backward. For by it the people of old received their commendation. They were commended, receiving that well done. The verses 4 and 5, it uses commendation, commended a few times throughout the chapter. Verse 4, by faith Abel, I'm offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. Verse 5 about Enoch, he was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Enoch lived a life of faith, and such a life pleases God. Verse 39 says, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Are you one of these people in our generation? Do you have faith this morning in God? Saving faith, which will be seen faith in your life. Because faith doesn't only look forward and look backward, it looks upward. It looks to God. Verse 3, we have a very interesting statement about creation. By faith we understand that the universe, some put the worlds, some put the ages, we can think of all of these things. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And then verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And verse 3, it seems, takes us to the very beginning of the Bible. The very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then Genesis chapters 1 and 2 is all about creation, the 6 days of creation. My friends, that's where our faith starts. We start there. That we believe that God created. That things have not evolved without any divine design. But God made all things. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. And this is the first of 18 uses in this chapter of this phrase, by faith. 18. By faith we understand. By faith Abel. By faith Enoch. By faith Noah. And so on. 18 times. But it starts off with whoever is reading the chapter. By faith we understand. the writer of this letter, the recipients of it, the reader of this chapter in succeeding generations, because God's word is timeless, it is infallible. By faith we understand. Do we have the same faith as these people had in living their lives? And will we die as they died in faith? May that be able to be said of us. Our faith looks up to God. Our faith looks outward in our lives, in living our lives day by day. And before we read of the faith of the people of God, we read of faith in the God of the people. Beginning with God's creation, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. There was no one present at creation. There was no one there to bring back a report. The question was put to Job by God in chapter 38 and verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? There was no one there. And Moses, being the writer of the first five books, the Pentateuch, the details were given to him. And we have these accounts. And it's by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Atheism today, this past number of years, has taken on a more militant approach. These are people without faith. They do not believe. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith in God's word, God's spoken word. God said, let there be light. How in chapter 1, especially, and God said, and God said, and God said. The word of God. God's spoken word. But we have the written word. We have the written word that we can read of the spoken word of God. Faith in God's word, faith in God's ways. He made the universe. Oh, the vastness of the universe. The worlds, the ages. Faith in God's word and God's ways. Faith in God's work. The universe was created. And this is where we think of a Latin phrase, ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created out of nothing. It's the same in Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created out of nothing the heavens and the earth. He simply spoke the universe into existence. The universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. There was no raw material floating about in a dark, black universe. And God took that and fashioned stars and planets and all life on earth. There was nothing. God made out of nothing everything that we see. And it's by faith that we understand that. And one has said the Christian then believes in an ex nihilo creation out of nothing because of his faith. It is not by observation. It is not by experimentation. It is not by scientific method. It is not because of the modern discoveries of science which lend support to the biblical account of the creation and early history of the earth, but it is by faith born of revelation. It is an embracing of commitment to the authority of the word of the author of that revelation. It is the acceptance of the authority of the living God. It is to take God at his word. You see, there are those who have gone to school. They've been very good at the sciences. And they've gone on to university to study physics and chemistry and so on, biology. And they're great men and women in their field. But there are many of us who don't understand what they do and what they're on about. We don't have the same knowledge in those subjects that they have. But we don't need to have. It is by faith that we understand. We just take God at his word. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. That's what we need to understand. We look at creation, we say, God made that. I can't understand maybe scientific explanations and terminologies about different things. But I simply look at a mountain range. I look at an ocean. I say, I understand that God made that. And I believe that. That's what I believe. And that's, I'll die believing that. By faith we understand. There are many things in life that we don't understand. Do you understand this? That the universe was created by the word of God. And this is to do with faith. That you believe that God exists. That you can live a life of faith, no matter how difficult it is, Abel and Noah and so on. And to die in faith. And these individuals are now with the Lord. By faith we understand. May you have such faith this morning and desire to have such faith if you don't have. And to live that life that is pleasing to God.